Welcome to Wallowing in the Shallows, the podcast that skirts the perilous drop-off of a deep dive into television and movies. We are academic nerds aspiring to become TV and movie geeks. There are no spoiler guards in the shallows, so listen at your own risk. This week, join us for a wallow in a Buffy the Vampire Slayer Season 2 rewatch. Hey, hello, peeps. Welcome to Wallowing in the Shallows. This is Tori.
And this is Rebecca. And today we are talking about Buffy the Vampire Slayer Season 2, Episode 17, Passion.
Yeah, I don't even have a summary for this one. It's just like, Angel is bad, bad things happen, and we're all sad.
Yeah. Okay, well said. Well said. And I have expressed before that I do not like Bad Angel. And, like him even less when he kills off a character I really like.
Mm-hmm.
And he's such a jerk to Spike. I don't like this time of Angel being terrible, Spike being so weakened. I'm fine with Drew being strong. I've got no problem with that. It's really Angel and Spike, that dynamic that I hate. And losing Calendar, I'm shook.
Yeah, that was really hard to keep quiet.
Oh.
Really hard to keep quiet. I'm like, she's going to be so upset.
You were right. I am very upset how he, and you know, he just like broke her neck out of nowhere. I mean, I really was worried. I was like, how's she going to get out of this? Is she going to be a vampire?
Right.
And he just, oh. So I'm not happy right now. I'm not happy with the show right now.
Yeah, I was reading in the Myth and Metaphor book, and also there was a little DVD extra for this episode.
Uh-huh.
And Joss Whedon's talking about it, and he said that they purposely didn't have Angel bite her because they didn't want people thinking that she might come back as a vampire. And they also wanted to make sure that he had his vamp face on so that they could, like, people wouldn't associate that with just the regular Angel face, right? It was Angelus. He was the vampire when he did that. Mm-hmm. So I thought that was interesting. But the person, what's his name again? Mark Field in Myth and Metaphor said that he thought, or the interpretation was, you know, it was a real insult that Jenny wasn't even worth eating. You know, I was like, I'm just going to kill you. And that's how little I think about you. I'm not even going to bother to eat or drink, I guess I should say. Which makes it even a more senseless death, right? He's not taking any sustenance. He just killed her to kill her.
Yes. And I also, I don't even understand how this really is true to Angelus's purpose. He killed everyone Drew loved.
Mm-hmm.
Of all the main cast right now,
mm-hmm.
Calendar is the one that is on Buffy's shit list. And
right.
I realize Giles loves her. It rocks Buffy, all of this.
Right.
But the person it really decimated was Giles.
Right.
And Buffy doesn't want to see Giles Hurst. I understand. I understand that. But I mean, losing her mother would be way more of a torture. You know, losing Willow or Xander or Giles himself. So I'm not sure I even feel like it works. And so I don't know. I just don't like it. I don't like that this, I just don't like it.
Well, I don't think the purpose was for Buffy. I think it was to ensure she couldn't do that spell.
Well, that's a good point. It's good you lead me back to this because she figured it out, right? And we have the floppy disk beside the desk.
Right.
So, okay. I can I can accept this. This was not to hurt Buffy, but he just took the opportunity to dig in where he could while satisfying his objective of getting rid of the threat of having his soul returned.
Right. Exactly. Okay. I think that's what it was all about. And I think that, you know, he didn't know she'd put it on that disc. And so he thought destroying the computer and burning the print version of it would take care of it all.
Okay.
And he wouldn't have to worry about anybody else trying to do the spell. Plus, I don't think he would have even thought, I mean, if it had occurred to him that somebody else could do the spell, I don't think he would have even thought Willow was capable of it, right? That she's not that powerful.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you. That helps. That helps. I think I'm blinded with rage. So so it's a good thing I've got the voice of reason in you here, bringing me back, reining me in. Okay, that makes sense.
And we didn't even said in this little DVD thing that they wanted to make the audience mad. So I'm like, objective obtained.
S-U-C-C-E-S-S. You have done it.
Yeah, yeah. And they really wanted to make sure that everybody understood, you know, he really is evil.
Yeah.
He's evil.
Evil, but apparently a great artist who just likes to draw pictures of people creepily while they're sleeping or dead.
Oh, man, that is so trippy.
Yes.
I don't know what I would do if something like that ever happened. I'd be like, where's the police? I need the police.
Dreadful. I'm just wondering what Cordelia's car looks like with crucifixes like affixed to the various doors, because Willow's got them hidden behind a curtain, but there's not much place to hide in a vehicle.
Yeah. Willow, Ivor Rosenberg's only daughter, nailing crucifix to her wall.
Yes.
Oh, gosh.
Okay. Well, let's get into this thing.
Okay.
Because there was certainly a lot there. And I must say, I mean, it had me on the edge of my seat pretty much from beginning to end. So I guess I have to say it's a good episode,
even though
I'm incensed.
What do you think Rolling Stone rated it?
Well, now I was just going to ask. Okay. Oh, my gosh. I'm going to have to say top 50% for sure. I don't think I can say, I'm not going to say like top 10 or anything, but maybe top 25.
It is a number. Blah, 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 blah. That's my drum roll. 10. Nice.
Oh, wow.
In fact, a lot of people, this is always rated 10. Really, really high. And it's like up there with some episodes that are coming up that are also super, super high.
Wow.
So, yeah. And interestingly enough, the guy that's credited as the writer, Ty King, never wrote another episode. And so, again, this Mark Field guy in that Metaphor book, he said there was this a lot of scuttlebutt that Whedon actually rewrote almost the entire script. And he said he tends to believe that scuttlebutt because King never wrote another episode. And the one episode you're going to write is one of the like consistently ranked high episodes. So
yeah. Wow.
So, yeah. Little tidbits.
Well, okay. So this whole business with him in her room, I don't know. It and the music that was selected was so perfect. I don't know. You know, he's waxing about passion and blah, blah, blah. But I'm just like, you are a psychopath.
Yeah.
And just totally on a side note, why is her lampshade upside down?
I didn't even notice that.
It's weird. It's whatever her lamp is, it's just like that, but it looks like an upside down lampshade.
All right.
Maybe so
it's a representation of her topsy-turvy world.
Oh, like, I like you pulling that out right at right out of nowhere. But this whole him just, well, I guess it's cat and mouse. I guess it's toying with her. I don't know. He killed off Drew's entire family. Now, I don't know over what course that happened.
Mm-hmm.
of time, but this whole just sort of leaving notes and drawings. Okay, there were casualties. Willow's fish.
Yeah.
But
I think that, I mean, it was a method that kind of worked to drive Drew crazy. So, you know, tried and true methods. Maybe that's why he's doing it.
Well, I guess I just, what we know he did to Drew was kill loved ones. We haven't seen him do that. I mean, even with Calendar, but I think you are absolutely right about that motivation.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that was a kill off Buffy's loved one action.
But definitely leaving the information that I could do this right easily.
Certainly that. And maybe that's where Angel started with Drew, you know?
Yeah, could be.
We just know how he ended with her.
Right.
So.
Right.
Yeah. I was immediately, you know, one thing that was a little bit strange is I thought Buffy and her mom needed to move immediately because if he was able to get in. And then Giles was all, oh, you know, that's going to be really hard. There's no way to reverse it. And it was like, you know, bippity boppity boo, put up a few crucifixes and the job's done. That was
read
a little
Latin.
yeah, exactly. So that was a little, I was like, come on. If it's hard, then make it hard.
Yeah.
And if it's easy, then it should have gotten done.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And I mean, and Jenny just whips out that book like, here, try this. This will work.
Yeah.
And yet Giles has no knowledge of it. Yeah, that's a little bit of a stretch.
Some watcher you are, Giles. This seems like Vamp 101 here.
You can pull out obscure texts for other things, but not this.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Although I suppose it might have been not something needed, right? Because I doubt previous slayers would have invited vampires into their homes.
But, you know, somebody might have gotten tricked somehow.
Well, that's true.
You know,
but would
I just,
they have survived it at that point is the question.
Well, that's a good point. I mean, there's a whole lot of other obscure lore. I just feel like this might have been a little more. Anyway, it was what it was.
Yep. 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 What did you think about all of the Angel or Angelus monologues in this episode?
I love them. Well, I am so enraged about everything Angel is right now that I think maybe that is blinding me. Mm. But I was like, you know, he was talking about passion.
Mm-hmm.
And is he really feeling passion? And is Buffy really feeling passion? Buffy is devastated. It's
right.
like her love is dead.
Right.
I don't think it's passion. And even Giles and Jenny, I mean, I know there's an, I don't know, passion was just, it. Passion didn't strike me as quite the right word. What
okay.
about you?
Well, I mean, it was obsession, right? Is that the same thing? I don't think
okay.
so.
I would give you that, but I would give you that for him. It seemed like he was trying to tie the feelings together of these different people. He's obsessed.
Right.
Totally agreed.
Right.
Is Buffy obsessed? I don't know. I mean, she's young and this is her first real love and it's sort of still there but gone. But obsession or passion wouldn't be the first words that would come to me about what's driving her with her complicated feelings toward Angel.
Yeah, I guess maybe they're trying to imply that when, you know, she and Willow are talking and she says, you know, my first instinct is still to run to Angel.
Mm-hmm.
And then Willow's like, you know, oh, here it is. I'm looking at the metaphor book. He talks about this and it says, Buffy, it's so weird. Every time something like this happens, my first instinct is still to run to Angel. I can't believe it's the same person. He's completely different from the guy I knew. And then Willow says, well, sort of, except, and Buffy, except what? And Willow says, you're still the only thing he thinks about.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I don't necessarily think at this point that she's obsessed with him, but he's definitely still obsessed.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. And Angel is no longer there.
Right.
So the love obsession part, it's just nasty, sick obsession that Angelus has. So, yes, I totally agree. I totally agree with obsession on his part, and it is psychopathic in nature.
Well, I think that, I'm thinking back to when Giles and Buffy are talking earlier in the episode, and he's like, you can't be a slave to your passions. And then, of course, the irony is later when Jenny is killed, he goes off the deep
He's
end. And becomes kind of that slave to his at least feelings. I don't necessarily want to call it passion at that point, but I mean, I think they're even trying to use that as a thing for passions. But I really, yeah, I think the episode is misnamed because of that. But yeah, I don't know. I just don't think passions is the way to go. And I didn't care for the monologues.
Yeah. And even the, I was surprised that Giles was taken in that Jenny had done all that stuff at his house because, boy, it just did not seem like they were already there. You know, she was going to come over and maybe they would have gotten intimate, but maybe it was just going to be a healing right direction. Roses and candles all over his house. I mean, that was, I mean, I'd be like, whoa, whoa, wait a sec. You know, and of course he it just it seemed like a lot for a just barely returning flicker here of maybe I forgive you know.
I don't know. I'm thinking back. They were on the verge when she got taken over by Ion. And they were, kind of getting it back together here, bef right when they
She
found
didn't
out.
even know. She didn't even know he wasn't going to be there. That was a lot of setup. I mean, she was going to come over when she was done. She, how would she have even known she was going to have time for herself to set all this crap up?
Yeah, true. But I can also see why Giles would have been like, oh my gosh, she got here early. Look what she did. She's ready. She really for we're we're really getting back on track. I don't know. I don't know. So we need a male to
Sus.
weigh in on
Well,
that.
fair enough, but I mean, I just it seems illogical for how we saw it. I mean, yeah. He was supposed to be headed home.
Did he tell her he was going to stop by Buffy's and pick? Well, yeah, he said he had to pick up that book, right? So he could do his house. Or maybe
Again, I
I'm,
mean, I'm
I
not
don't
even
know.
sure how all that happened as fast as it did, but whatever. It, Angelus is Angelus. He's undead, so he can do a lot of stuff.
Well, yeah. And they're supposed to be able to move pretty fast, right?
But she's human. She's not. And if she was the one who did it, I don't just just the timeline just doesn't hang together for me. Okay. So what's the squeaky kid's name? The one that came into the library.
Jonathan.
Jonathan. That was hysterical. What are you doing here? Going to the library. This
You
really
think this is a Barnes
highlighted.
and Noble?
Yeah, this really highlighted how rarely Sunnydale students go to the library. Jonathan. Okay. And was it Lenny or Squiggy who was the little guy?
Squiggy.
Squiggy. Okay,
I
so I
had to
had
think
that
for a
right.
minute.
I had that much right. So the squiggy guy was appropriate. The squiggy
Laverne
guy
and
is Jonathan.
Shirley, for those of you who don't know what we're talking about.
Yes.
One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, Incorporated.
The television show from what was that, 70s, early 80s, something like that?
I know I saw it in reruns. So maybe late 70s.
Yeah.
But yes, I saw the squeaky guy who is just kind of a little guy with greasy hair. And I was like, oh gosh, we have seen him so many times, but I always forget his name. Okay, Jonathan.
Jonathan. The girl we'd never seen before, though.
The redhead.
I mean, she might have been in the background in the
previous
episode, but I don't remember seeing her before. And she doesn't have a line, so, you know, she's a throwaway.
Definitely. And so instead of the privacy of the library, they just decide to talk about vampires full on in the hallway.
Yes.
We can't have anyone here. Let's go where everyone is.
Yeah. And so that was Giles and Cordelia and Xander.
Mm-hmm.
Was Buffy there?
Yes.
Okay. Oh, that's right. Looking at my notes now, I wrote down, you know, they all leave the library. They're in the corridor. And my note says, Cordelia's middle name must be Cuts to the... Cordelia Cuts to the Chase.
We need it sometimes. We need it sometimes.
I love her.
By sneaking in her room and leaving stuff at night? Why doesn't he just slit her throat or strangle her while she's sleeping or cut her heart out? What? I'm trying to help.
Well, and I feel that is so true. And I felt like Giles was downplaying it. Was like, just, it's cool. You know, don't fall for it. He's just toying with you. I'm like, Angela's left a trail of blood with Drew's family. Giles, this is urgent.
Yeah.
And Cordy was really right. I mean, maybe he wasn't going to kill Buffy, but Joyce was sure fair game.
Yeah. Yeah. Which Buffy, of course, realizes right away. You know, I can't be with my mom all the time. So I thought it was ironic that they were, you know, talking about Joyce's safety. And in the background, there's a flyer for a self-defense class on the wall.
Oh, my gosh, that's awesome.
And it was only $4.
Hey, sign me up.
Yeah, yeah. But I gotta jump back to the opening.
Okay, of course.
You know, when they're coming out of the bronze. You know, the Scoobies are leaving and they walk right past Angel sucking on some random girl.
Yes. Yes.
Why did Buffy not sense that?
And he was lurking every other time he lurks in the shadows at the bronze. She always knows he's there.
Yeah. And maybe.
No, that was weird.
Even if she doesn't sense him as Angel, right? She should sense the vampire.
Yeah.
That didn't make sense to me.
No, totally agreed. And very brazen of him to just be right there with this woman he's killing.
Yeah. And then creeping outside her bedroom window. Jesus.
Oh, it, you know, Angel. This is really jumping ahead, but just kind of along the same lines of maybe not the smartest things.
Mm-hmm.
His pleas to Joyce. I mean, what do you think this gains you?
You have to help me. Joyce, I need to be with her. You can convince her. You have to convince her.
What?
Yeah.
What was the play there?
Yeah.
And he really seemed a bit sincere about it, but it was desperate and obsessed.
Maybe that's what this episode should have been titled. Desperation.
Desperation. Now, there could be some desperation on Buffy's part.
Yeah.
Agreed. Well, where would you like to go next?
Well, let's see. I'm trying to decide if I want to do this one trivia question or this other trivia question. Because if I do the one, then I should do it right now. If I do the other one, I can wait.
You could do both.
This one is probably, you'll probably remember, it's pretty easy.
Oh, dear. Now, go ahead and say that.
Well, this has to do with Jonathan and the random girl.
Okay.
Right? So they come in to look for a book on what historical figure?
I do know. Stalin.
Yeah, I figured. Do you remember which Do you remember which row the historical biographies are in?
I'm less sure about this, but maybe the third?
Third row. Yes.
Okay. Okay. Yes. I think I rewound that scene because I was trying to remember who Jonathan was.
Okay. Okay.
Rewound. That dates me.
Got it. I was just listening to an earlier episode that we recorded, and I say that all the time. I rewound it and rewound it and rewound it. What else
what
is it
the
called?
Kids, what do the kids say these days? Went back 30 seconds? I don't know.
I don't know either. It's still called a rewind button, isn't it?
I don't know. I don't know.
Maybe they call it the backward button.
The world is quickly flying past me. Goodness.
All right.
The next thing I want to talk about is two ridiculous things.
Okay.
One, you're a teacher.
Yes.
Would you tell a student, hey, I'm going to be a little late tomorrow? Not just, could you let the class know? Now that I would buy.
Yeah.
Listen, she's going to be here in 10 minutes. Just hold tight. But just start the lesson without me. Is that something you'd do on a regular basis?
Not with undergraduate students. I might do it with some graduate students in a seminar, but.
Fair. But high school?
No, not at all.
Okay. So that was ridiculous. And not only did she ask her to cover, but then at the end, the school has Willow substitutes.
I know. I'm like, seriously?
I mean, I don't care how good she is. That is just not a fair position to put a student in. And it's just not right. But the other thing that was silly, I've got a lot of respect for Calendar. And clearly, she is clearly, I think we see, she uses AI to get this. To get this. This incantation done. So hats off. Hats off to Jenny Calendar, RIP. But what I put my foot down on is she asks in the assignment both an electronic copy and a paper printout of the spreadsheet. Come on. A paper printout of the spreadsheet. What are you going to learn from that? You got to look at the dynamic copy in order to know if the student did it right.
I'll just have to believe you on that one.
Okay. Actually, I'll take it back slightly. Perhaps she was looking at some particular formatting, but I'm dubious.
Maybe the printout was more of the product, right? Like, did you code correctly so that it prints properly? Well, I don't know. Okay. I'm just spitballing here.
I think I could backtrack a little here, but. And definitely, it would have been much worse if she just said, give me the printouts of your... She did ask for both, so I should respect that.
But in that scene with Jenny and Willow, what the fuck was Willow wearing? That stupid-ass sweater and that smiley backpack?
But was it as bad as those pants and the red chest sweater that Xander was wearing?
Were those the same pants from the Bad Eggs episode?
I think it's quite possible. But the pairing with that sweater just took it up 17 notches.
Yeah, I noticed those. I go, hey, those might be the same pants that Rebecca was talking about.
I think you could be right because they struck me in the funny bone just once again. And it was funny because Willow's hair stayed identical. Both Cordelia and Buffy seemed to have visited the same new hairstylist that sort of blew it back and had it a little more feathered on the sides.
I know that was like a 70s thing. Did that come back in the 90s? I don't remember.
I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see if they keep it going forward, but it just kind of struck me about both of them this episode.
Got it. So, yeah, that was just a weird scene. I would never ask a student to do that.
Yeah. Now, I have a note here that, and maybe it was, I feel like it was Giles said something about Angel Angel's actions being full of whimsy. I think he used the word whimsy. And I was like, whimsy?
Yeah.
Angel's a stone cold psycho. What are you talking whimsy?
Yeah, he does. He's. I actually have this written down.
Since Angel
lost his soul, he's regained his sense of whimsy.
Oh,
yeah. Understatement of the year much.
And whimsical has such a fun connotation about it.
Ooh, yeah.
I just cannot get behind that word choice.
But yeah, I mean, Jenny catches it, right? She's like, oh, that sounds bad.
She really puts it all out there. I should have known she was dead right then.
When she tells him that she loves him?
Yes.
Yeah, that should have been the big key. I was trying to remember if I thought that when I first saw this episode. And it is one of my top episodes. I have to admit, it's up there because of Jenny Callender's death. Because it was so unexpected.
Yes.
I mean, it was kind of almost time for somebody, you know, that we had an opportunity to build up affection for and connection to die, right? Because that hadn't really happened yet. There always been kind of like, you know, Jesse dies right away.
What about the pig? And Principal, whatever his name was.
Well, maybe Principal Flutie might be the closest thing.
Yeah.
But he was only been in like, he wasn't in that many episodes before they killed him off.
Yeah, no, you're right.
And Jenny shows up, what, midway in season one?
Yeah, season one.
Yeah. And then, yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I mean, yeah, I liked Principal Flutie, but I didn't really have that big of a connection to him. Whereas with Jenny, I did almost instantaneously, right? Because she just was such a cool character.
Yeah. No, definitely. Definitely.
Yeah.
Okay. Another little meaningless thing I noticed.
Okay.
When Buffy and Joyce are having dinner together, you know, they're having a lovely dinner. They have like 9 slices of bread sliced on the breadboard. Are you kidding me?
Well, that'd be okay if I was coming to dinner, but
they already each have a piece on their plates,
mm-hmm.
as if these two women are going to eat like 8 more slices. Somebody staged that a little bit funny.
Yeah, I did notice that was a lot of bread and a lot of vegetables. I was like, where's the potatoes? I didn't see potatoes.
No.
Coming from the household that had potatoes with every single dinner when they were growing up.
Right, right.
Is it really dinner without potatoes? I don't think so. Oh, except at my mom's house. That was my dad's house. Meat and potatoes.
Okay.
Off track. I'm off track.
No worries. So we do get Buffy talking a little bit about Angel and warning. This was good. Warning Joyce, though, inviting him in. Who cares? I mean, he's already in there while they're all sleeping, but at least putting her on her guard a little bit. And I do think Joyce is more prepared when Angel does confront her.
Right. I have always been surprised that Joyce remembered, right? Because she only met Angel that one time in season one.
Mm-hmm.
And yet here we are almost a year later, and she remembers that one time, which then made me think Rebecca really is right. Joyce had the hots for Angel.
I think this is some additional evidence right here. I appreciate you remembering.
So, yeah.
Oh, the hot guy that's tutoring you in history? Yes, I remember.
Yeah. That was an interesting scene. And she was so close. She could have told Joyce then.
Mm-hmm.
So close.
Yeah.
But I do have to say, because, well, now I was going to give something away.
Okay.
I got to back off it.
Okay.
Back off it.
Rewind.
Rewind. Be kind.
Wow. Yep. You got to be a certain age to know what that means.
Yeah. Yeah.
So is Oz on the outs or something? I got a little impression that what did Willow say? She said something about guys or something. Anyway, we didn't see Oz in this episode. And They were all at the Bronze without Oz, and Oz's band wasn't the one playing. Anyway, I was just wondering if Oz, something's going on there. But
I didn't pick up on that.
Okay.
But that doesn't they weren't trying to imply that or anything. I just think he's still, you know, he's basically introduced this season. So I'm not surprised that he's not in more episodes, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, I just have his Oz on the bad list. I just feel like she must have said something to Buffy about guys or I don't know, that made me think that. Because then the next thing is, I said, has Angel been at Willow's place? And of course he has. And oh my God, Willow's fish are the first casualty. Little did I know who was going to be the second.
Well, the third, because you're just counting the poor chick in the alley outside of the Bronze.
Oh, right. But come on, he's been feeding on people regardless of Buffy.
Well, that's true.
The fish were directly in his Buffy sphere plot.
Yeah, that's true.
I was worried about that puppy. Drew, but the puppy seems to have survived this episode.
For now, I don't know.
Yeah.
But yeah, I like the puppy thing is kind of a throwback to, I think it was the previous episode, right? When Giles and Buffy are in the library and he's telling her about all the things that Angelus did in the past. And he's like, one time, Angelus, and she's like, I don't have a puppy. Skip it. And then Willow's, of course, like, now I'm, you know, for the first time, I'm glad I don't have a puppy. And then Drew walks in with the puppy. I'm like, what's a lot of puppy here going on?
It's true. And I didn't really realize that puppies could sustain vampires, that they could feed on puppies.
Yeah.
Not sure that's part of the lore.
I would think you would need a larger dog for that if you were going to go that way.
Yeah. And apparently the puppy told her that Calendar was on the hunt.
Yeah.
Didn't quite get that either. Drew has some hooky spooky abilities.
I do.
And
like,
is Spike gonna get better?
Oh, well, we are gonna
can't tell
to
me
see. You're gonna have to wait and see.
He's got to. They can't just have him like this forever. He's going to.
They just killed off Jenny Calendar. I think they can do anything.
Well, isn't that the truth?
Yeah. I know you have already said this episode that you can't stand Angelus, but I just hate how he taunts Spike in this scene.
Hate it!
Implying that he's screwing
sleeping with Drew.
Yeah, yeah.
I really don't like it. Well, I don't like mean-spirited humor anyway.
Right, right.
It's just, I just hate his character right now.
Agreed.
So I was very careful about looking up the Orb of Thessala because, you know, I have run across spoilers before. It seemed like everything was coming back, just Buffy related stuff.
Yeah.
Did you find anything saying that was something else?
No, that's all I found as well.
Okay.
I do love, you know, most of it's just yuppies using it as a
paperweight. Yeah, and even though it may not have any power anymore, or they don't know the incantation, it certainly lights up on cue very nicely. So it's got something going on in it.
I know. I was like, wow, Jenny got the power. She just lights that thing right up.
And it happens with Angel later, too.
Maybe it just needs... I was just going to say something about maybe it needs the electricity of the human body, but would Angel have that? Since he's undead? So, yeah, and then we're pretty close to Buffy totally forgiving Jenny.
Yes.
I don't think she's totally there yet. I think it's more of like, really what, you know, she says she knows Giles misses her and she doesn't want him to be lonely.
Yes.
So, and maybe that's because she's been feeling that, right? Since Angel turned.
Agreed. She doesn't want to wish that on anybody, let alone somebody she really cares about.
Yeah, complicated.
Mm-hmm.
I do love that outfit that Callender's wearing, though. It's very kind of ethereal. Guess what I learned about Robbia Lamorte?
What?
So she started her career as a dancer, and
Okay, I'd believe that.
she was actually on, I think, on tour for quite a while with the Pet Shop Boys. And then she was selected by Prince to be a lead dancer in his video Cream, which I then watched, you can find on the YouTube. And she went on tour with him, and she and the other lead dancer ended up being like his spokespeople because he refused to do public interviews while
No
they were on tour.
way.
Yeah. So, and then I
Wow.
think soon after that, she decided to try her hand at acting. And then eventually, after she left Buffy, she found Jesus, and so left dip both dancing and acting behind.
Oh.
But I was
Well,
watching
that's our
that.
loss.
Yeah, I was watching that video, and I'm like, man, that's some 80s hair, Robia. But I'm like, boy, you got to be a pretty damn good dancer if Prince is gonna choose you.
Definitely. Oh, that's
So.
cool. I'll have to hop on the YouTubes.
And again, it's for the video Cream. I don't know if she's in any other ones or like that. I don't remember that, but
Okay.
yeah. I'm trying to remember why I even found that. Yeah, I don't know.
That's
I was probably
cool.
just like, I never hear about Robbia Lamorte anymore. I wonder what happened to her. Clickety click click click. And so that's probably what happened. You know what I found super surprising in the scene after Buffy and Jenny are talking?
What's that?
Giles is talking to other students. Like,
That
Giles
is
is actually
weird.
interacting with other students?
That is weird.
Yeah. And of course, again, love Cordelia, who is so scared of Angel that she makes her grandma
Ma,
switch
yeah.
cars.
Loved that. Love poor grandma. Who cares about that?
Cordelia Chase, always
Yeah.
looking out for number one.
You know, she's always true to her personality.
She is. She is. I love that one. And then she's hanging with Buffy and Willow in Willow's room. And I don't remember what she says, but she's like, Cordelia, we've done your car. You can go
And again, that's where I was like, what does that car look like? This is.
Yeah. Maybe they welded a cross on or something.
Really interesting. So then the next scene is the one with Joyce, right? Where Angel is a complete idiot.
Well, Cordelia finds the envelope on Willow's bed,
Oh, right.
and it's the picture of Joyce.
Right.
And
Yes,
then.
I've written creepy that he would draw her mom. It's one thing for him to draw Buffy, but to sit there, watch her mom sleep and draw her.
Yeah. But then it's right
Weird.
after that that we get to Buffy's house and Joyce drives up and Angel is there waiting for her.
Being a complete stalker.
Yeah. And I'm wondering if the dropping of the grocery bag was written into the script and were those oranges supposed to go every which way? Or was that just an accident and they just went with it?
Was he at all helping repack the bag, or did he just kneel down and to talk to her more?
No, I think he was going to go for some oranges. And it looked like Joyce was going to turn around and go for some and then stopped herself, probably
Yeah,
going, oh, I should
like
just continue with the scene. Which is what made me wonder if it was.
accidental.
Right. My note for the scene is Angel is psycho as F.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And thank goodness the easy little charm totally worked because, yeah, he could not enter.
Sorry, Angel. Change the locks.
And stay out.
Yep. Slam the door in his face. And he looks so surprised. Probably didn't know about that spell either, even though he's 200 and some years old.
I'm just hating that dude right now.
Yeah, and then we get to the school scene. Jenny and Giles make plans.
And she's like, so Buffy tells me that you miss me. And he says, well, she's a meddlesome girl.
Another word that is underused.
I liked that.
Yeah.
I liked that.
It's a good word. Good word.
Okay. Good word. I will say that I totally clocked that Jenny had it on the computer, had a printout, and had the floppy. And for the rest of the episode, I was like, where is that floppy? We got to get the eyes on the floppy. Where is it? And then we are not disappointed. We do see that it falls to the side of the desk in the final scene.
Yep. Yep. No foreshadowing there.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, since Willow's the teacher, she's going to be, you know, really familiar with that desk.
Right. 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 I did learn that, and I think it's from this Mark Field book again, that the Latin that they have in this episode is actually incorrect. But
for the enter all ye who seek knowledge.
Yeah.
I almost looked that up.
Yeah. Evidently in the Italian dubbed version, they corrected it. And it's like,
well, that's helpful.
Yeah. In Ingredit vos qui scienses quirites, which is more Spanish, but because I don't know how to speak Italian or Latin. So,
yeah, I only wrote down the English translation he gave us. Yeah, I have here, for an orb that does not work, it sure lights up nice.
It's pretty.
Yeah.
Would make a good night.
But then
light.
It gets smashed.
That scene with Angel and Jenny, that whole sequence. Wow. It's tough. It's like, run, Jenny, run.
Real rough. And it was, I mean, I had to laugh a little bit when she rolled the trash bin at him and he totally fell right into it. But then, you know, he looked kind of like a doofus there, but then he beat her to the top of the stairs, which
right.
was terrifying.
Yeah. Yeah. It just happens so fast.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I said, are you kidding me? Jenny is dead.
I hate it.
Yeah.
I hate it that she's gone.
Yeah. So once again, awkward parenting from Joyce.
Yes.
Okay. I understand you're upset that, you know, you didn't know that your daughter had sex with Angel, whatever. But clearly he was a psychopath. You know, I think the first place has got to be, let's figure out how to keep you safe. You know, I just was like, wait, why are we even going here right now? And then at the end, she's like, I love you, blah, blah, blah. But it was just weird. I was like, we are talking about someone who might hurt you guys. This can be discussed later.
Yeah. Yeah. There's more pressing concerns at the moment.
100%. Well said.
And why would a parent be mad anyways? I mean, has there ever been a child who, the first time they had sex, went and said, Mom, I had sex?
Right.
I mean, I know nobody who, after the first time they had sex, said, I got to go tell my mom now. So.
Well, it just was awkward. It just didn't feel like, I mean, I'm not a parent, so what do I know? But it just did not feel like it was written by a real parent. Or at least a real parent who had had such an experience.
Yeah, it didn't really seem authentic.
Yes.
So, I did like Giles, though. Maybe I should go talk to or intervene or something like that.
Right.
Willow's like, what would you say?
What would you say? So innocently, not like, and what would you say? But, right. And what would you say? What helpful? Oh, you don't have any. Okay.
And I love his expression. He looks so flummoxed and uncomfortable. And she's like, okay, bye. And then Giles's apartment scene. Of course, recognize the opera right away.
I was wondering if you did.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's my trivia question. So did you look up the name of the song?
Well, Field talks about it. He's got quite a long section. I guess he was reading something else on the web and they were talking about this. And this person, who is it? Akito? Back in April of 2002, did a deep dive into the opera And so that the music is O Suave Fanciulla or something like that in La Boheme. And so this, I'm just gonna like, it's kind of a long thing, but it's pretty darn interesting because evidently they went to great lengths to line up lyrics with action that was going on in the scene. And they did have to kind of rework it a little bit, but it's really, really cool. So I'm just going to go with the English translations because I can't speak Italian and I'll just
Perfect.
ruin it for everybody. All right. As he comes to the door, he sees a beautiful long-stemmed red rose attached to it, and we can now hear the music swell. It is a tenor soprano duet, and so Rodolfo. Already I taste in spirit the heights of tenderness. Love trembles in our kiss. Mimi, you rule alone, O love. How sweet his praises enter my heart. Okay, so Giles pulls the rose from the door. You know, he smells it. He's got the little hopeful smile on his face and so forth. And then we hear Mimi, love you alone rule. Rodolfo kisses her. She pulls back, saying, no, please. And Rodolfo's, you are mine. And Mimi, your friends are waiting. And Rodolfo's like, you send me away already? And so then
Giles, good old Giles.
good old Giles enters his apartment, calls out for Jenny, you know. And then we hear Mimi saying, I daren't say what I'd like. And Rodolfo's like, tell me. And then as Rodolfo is singing, tell me, Giles opens the note and reads upstairs. And so both right at the same time. And then Rodolfo sings to Mimi, oh, lovely girl, oh, sweet face, bathed in soft moonlight. And on those lines, Giles looks up towards the bedroom and grabs the wine and has great expectations about what's going to happen when he goes upstairs. And then we hear Rodolfo saying, I see you in the dream. I dream forever. Giles is climbing the stairs, sees Jenny on his bed. And then as he realizes she's dead and drops the champagne, Mimi and Rodolfo sing together, ah, love, you rule alone. And then when Giles is leaning up against the wall and the police are there, we also hear that line again, ah, love, you rule alone.
Wow.
Yeah. I was like, brilliant,
Oh,
brilliant.
I am so glad you found that because I did identify it as La Boheme and looked up the, and I was like, oh, well, my Mimi dies in the end. Now, granted, it's by consumption, not being murdered by a psychopath, but that lineup with those lyrics is amazing.
I was just like, wow, cool AF. Cool
Now,
AF.
taking us back to the reality of the situation here, Giles looks incredibly guilty here. I do not know how he was just able to go to the police station and just talk for a few minutes without a lawyer. I was like, he needs a lawyer. This woman was found dead in his house, and it could be perhaps found out that they had a prior relationship. I mean, that is always the first suspect. So I don't know how this is just going to get explained away, but
And would they
I
really want to
said,
make a phone call right then? I think they would be like, well,
right.
let's get down to the station first.
And was his would it for his first phone call be to Buffy, not to like a lawyer? I just thought this is not good.
And how did they let him go so quickly? I'm like, he would be there for hours on end because, of
Oh,
course, you think he looks totally suspicious.
yeah, I mean, a lover's night gone wrong, right? I mean,
Boy,
so,
Allison Hannigan does a good job. That girl can cry.
oh, yeah.
She does
And
that
once again,
so
I ask,
well.
where is that floppy disk? I was like, is it on her body? Is it where's it?
I begin, well, not begin, but I return to my total disgust with Xander and the way he's acting when they get back to Giles's place after, Cordelia and and him pick her and Willow up. He is so damn self-righteous, and I hate this aspect of Xander's character.
Yeah.
And it's like,
I
knew
I've hated him forever, blah, blah, blah.
Right. Like, he never... Yeah. I'm just like, I don't think you ever thought that Angel was going to kill Jenny Calendar or anything mm-hmm. like that.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, did you recognize the phrase, faster pussycat, kill, kill?
I didn't.
It's actually a movie. I've never seen it. It's from 1966. It just sounds totally gross. I don't ever want to see it. It's about these two or three go-go dancers that basically kind of go on a killing spree.
Whoa.
And I'm like, and then I was like, I should look this up right now because it made me think, of course, of Charles Manson. And I didn't remember when the Tate LaBianca murders occurred. I couldn't remember. I should. I've watched enough true crime. Let's see if we can find it here real quick.
Wow.
Oh, that was 1971. So, interesting. I wonder if Charles Manson had seen that movie.
So, the plot of this movie you looked up is there are some go-go dancers that go on a killing spree. So, the pussycat, it was kind of like talking about one of the go-go dancers as she's killing somebody.
Well, I didn't get that deep into it.
Oh, okay.
To know exactly what the whole plot and sequences ago, but they just kind of, I think it was like, you know, like they kill one person and then it's just like, woo, let's go kill more or something like that. Let's see. Okay. So one of the go-go dancers, you know, they kidnap these people and then one of them says they need to kill them all to cover up this one kidnapping and the murder of her boyfriend. One of the go-go dancers refuses and the other one throws a knife into her back.
Oh, gosh.
Just as two other people arrive. And so then they hit one of the people with their car and kill him. And then...
Girl's gone wild.
Yeah. Yeah, and then the really bad go-go dancer gets in a hand-to-hand fight with this guy and she's getting the better of him until the third go-go dancer oh no, the person that was kidnapped hits her with the truck and then the bad go-go dancer dies.
Well, don't think I'll be seeing that movie anytime soon.
Yeah. I'm like, I don't think so.
So Giles is on the hunt, no surprise, blinded with rage. After losing Jenny.
Yeah.
And I must admit, I loved, okay, so Spike is right. Angel is off the mark. Angel says, I've got everything under control. Cue fire.
Yes. I noted that as well. And underneath it, I have one pissed off Giles arrives.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And then also Spike says something like,
but his little pranks will only leave us with one incredibly brassed off slayer.
Mm-hmm. And then you, the brassed off slayer.
Yeah, I like when Drew tries to go help Angel and Spike stops her and is like, you gotta wait till you're tagged in.
Yeah, yeah.
Very nice. WWF, or was it WWF or WWW something?
Well, yeah, I think the
tag team wrestling, I don't know.
Sure. Definitely WWF and perhaps the other one as well, wherever they've got tag team. Yeah, I'm sure that Spike is a little bit cheering for Buffy and Giles there to take out Angel.
Yep, and I love how Drew and Spike just kind of casually turn around and leave. And Buffy starts wailing on Angel.
I mean, that's right. That is Spike's MO. When the things get hot, he walks away. He's like, I will come back when I have better odds.
Run away!
Yes!
Run away!
Yes! Completely.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if Buffy really needed to punch Giles there, but...
yeah, I was going to say, I thought it was one of the better stunt fights in regards to wigs.
Appreciate the observation.
Yeah, I thought Buffy's stunt double had much better wig this time. And maybe it's just because it was pulled back in a ponytail. You know, how can you really screw that up?
Right.
But I did notice that. I'm like, hey, her hair doesn't look too bad in this one.
Nice.
Yeah, it was interesting when Buffy punches Giles and then hugs him.
Yes,
So,
more very touching Buffy Giles connection.
yep. They're he really is her dad, right? Yeah, and I couldn't help but wonder, when Giles and Buffy are standing at Jenny's grave. And by the way, how'd they get a headstone so quickly?
Very quick.
Anyway, that's neither here nor there. And Giles admits that he loved Jenny, and I couldn't help but wonder if Giles blames Buffy at all, right? Because she had an opportunity to kill Angel and she didn't. And if she had, Jenny would still be alive.
Interesting question.
I would be upset. A Cancerian nature would hold a grudge for a very long time.
And he's right in the flush of it, right? This has just happened, so logic may not necessarily rule, as evidenced by his actions.
Yeah, for sure.
So Willow is the new computer teacher, and the floppy disk was there all along.
And she knocks it off the damn desk.
But, nobody really knows what she was doing. I mean, she told Giles she might have
She
something.
who? Oh, Jenny. Okay.
Yes. And Giles knew she was doing something that might help, but the stone of Thuzalah or whatever got destroyed.
Right.
And I mean, I feel it's quite likely that Willow is going to, at some point put this floppy disk in the drive and figure this out. But boy, she's got quite a leap to have to make in order to get there. So we'll see.
Yeah, we will.
Because this angel stuff cannot go on forever.
You hope.
Well, he's got his own show. So I feel pretty strongly that this changes at some point.
Think that was, one of the things I look back on, right? We never knew any of that stuff when we were watching it. And so, Angel could have died. Angel could have been written out when we watched this episode, or because we didn't know he was going to get his own show.
Yeah, I have pretty conclusive proof that something's going to change here. It may not be the Stone of Thuzalah or whatever, but something's got to give.
Well, if you're going to use all this knowledge to actually come up with conclusions, that be that way.
Yeah, fine. Do it. You have way more info than I did. Fair. Fair.
Episode.
Yeah.
Very good.
Yeah.
Very good.
Yes. Agreed. And very much, very enthralling. I mean, I was very engaged the whole time and a bit at the edge of my seat during parts of it. So,
Understandable.
good one. Well, I'm looking forward to the next one. Yeah, I got to see what happens here. But calendar is a huge loss. R.I.P.
Biggest death to date. All right, well, I guess the only thing left to do is say bye.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
Wallowing in the Shallows is created and produced by the both of us. Edited by Mo. The soundtrack for the Wallowing in the Shallows Buffy the Vampire Slayer Season 2 Rewatch is Apache Rock Instrumental by Sound Atelier, available on Jamendo.com. You can send us feedback at witstvpod@gmail.com. That's WITSTVPOD@gmail.com.
Subscribe
and subscribe
and then subscribe.
Subscribe.
Hit that subscribe button.
Like and subscribe.